Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
For those of you who haven't read the ephod, it's a garment, a beautiful golden garment he made to signify the day this battle took place, maybe.
And it's got the 12 stones.
Yeah.
And it representing the tribes.
So they began worshiping that jacket. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon, another generation because of another judge. They can no longer find rest through their own endeavors of following God with all their heart. It requires a judge who, I said, is not a shepherd of Israel anymore like Moses and Joshua, but is a champion of Israel. When there a need arises, God raises a judge and goes and deals with it. Because he is not ready to let this line die. Because he sees hundreds of years down the road that he will bring Christ to set it all right again and reestablish the first covenant of follow me with all your heart. And Zerubbabel, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son whose name was called Abimelech. And Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash his father in Orah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal Berith theirs. God, what did see? After, as soon as the judge dies,
the funeral is over, or before the funeral is over, they were probably already ordering, zoos.
And they're printing up party posters while the funeral is going on.
Yep.
Every single one, every time a judge dies, party!
Yeah,
hey, the judge is dead! Yeah!
Yeah.
We're free!
Yeah, and this one they separated from and then adopted another god altogether.
Yeah, you remember? Moses is out of the camp. We're free.
Yeah.
We're free. Free from what? The law, which they brought upon themselves. Nothing was illegal for them under the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Paul says nothing is illegal in Christ for the Christian. Some things are not good for the Christian. And if you follow Christ with all your heart, you'll know the difference. These people want to be free from the law already, which they imposed upon themselves. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of their enemies on every side. So what are we seeing here? A reoccurring theme of a judge will come, set things right, and they will have one generation of peace. So what is this generation that's seen this happening? What are they doing? They're not teaching their children what has happened. They're not telling the story of Gideon. They're not telling the story of Deborah. They're not telling what God did under these judges to bring them peace and prosperity. So the next generation, just like this generation we have right now in America, doesn't understand anything about the living God. Doesn't fear the living God. You know, one of our forefathers, our founding fathers said, this Constitution is wholly inadequate for anything other than a moral people. That's why America is crumbling. The Constitution of the United States has been tried over 100 times in 100 different countries in its totality, and it has failed every time because the key there is they were trying to rule with this Constitution over an immoral people. A constitutional republic requires you to police yourself. If you will not police yourself, the state must take control of you and become the policing force. Then you have socialism and communism. And that's America is on the threshold of that now. Because we don't teach our children, we haven't taught the last generation who the living God is and why you should not lie, why you should not steal, why you should be kind to your neighbor, why you should put God above all things. Failure. And that's what we're seeing over and over again here. As soon as the judge dies, the new generation says, who was this guy anyway? Why should we have to follow what he says? Verse 35, neither show they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had shown in Israel. Not only they turn against God, they turn against the judge and his household.
The guy who just saved him.
The guy who just saved him? Mm-hmm. He's dead now, so yeah. Who cares who they are? Who cares who George Washington was? Who cares who Abraham Lincoln was? Who is this God that we supposedly serve? I mean, I see the Canaanites over there having them wild naked orgies. Their God looks pretty cool to me. Our God says we have to be good. Chapter 9, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Understanding the Bible like you've never heard before. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to tell you what I learned in church for 40 years. Because I found out when I read the book myself, a lot of it wasn't correct. A lot of it was religion. I have news for you, Christian. God hates religion. The law was brought about by the Israelites themselves. They wouldn't follow the covenant God made with them. Follow me with all your heart and be free. Will not adhere to the law. Christ came and fulfilled the law once and for all so that I could be free, so you could be free. And I tell you right now, you hold on to this law and confess Christ. You're telling Jesus Christ that his perfect sacrifice and the horrible torture that he went through just wasn't enough, God. If you could have just done a little more, Jesus, then I'd feel like I'm holy just by following you. You know, the man on the cross, he didn't follow Christ at all. But the last moment, he seen the God that was right there beside him. He seen God, seen the Spirit of Christ. He said, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't go out and get baptized. Oh, well, there's no way he went to heaven. He didn't get baptized.
Confirmed.
Yeah, wasn't confirmed. Didn't have his last rites.
Nope.
Jesus looked at him, and you know what the Bible says? Hours before that, he was cursing Christ. But he, unlike the other one who cursed Christ to the end, he watched what happened. And like the soldier standing at the bottom of the cross, when darkness came across the entire area, the soldier said, surely this is the Son of God. He made a conversion in his heart also. The thief on the cross did so. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me. Jesus said, I assure you, today you will be in paradise with me. Nothing you've done with your hands. It's all about the heart. This entire book is about the heart. You accept Jesus Christ and you hold on to one tittle of this law. The Bible says you must keep all the law. And at best, you will be in paradise and separate from God. There are many covenants in this book. Christ came to free you from this law. If you hold on to it, you've told him it just wasn't enough. Yeah, I understand, but I got to keep Sunday holy. Can't do any work. I know my neighbor's tractor's broke down and he come help ask me to help him get it out of the woods. But it's Sunday. I told him I'd do it on Monday. Or if he can wait till next Saturday, I'll do it next Saturday. Foolish Christian. Sunday's not even the Sabbath. You'll do it on Saturday. You'll go fishing on Saturday. You'll work on your car on Saturday. That's the Sabbath.
Go partying Saturday.
Partying Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday's a big party day.
Yeah, it is. You know, you're defiling the Sabbath. Oh, but I thought Sunday was the holy day. No, that's the Roman holiday. That was the Roman holiday.
After Constantine.
It's like the Jews that stand there at the Wailing Wall, banging their heads on it and praying. That's the last remnant of the Roman fort that was next to the temple. They won't believe that, even though it's been proven. Oh, that has to be the temple. Jesus said, not one brick in this temple will remain. That happened in 70 AD. They had inlaid the entire inside of the temple with a thin layer of gold. Every single brick was taken apart, and that gold was melted off. Not a single brick of the temple remained, like Christ said. Jesus never lied. They stand up there and they bang their head on the remnant of the Roman fort, the actual ones that took their temple down, like they're worshiping Rome. Don't hold on to this law. Trust in Jesus Christ, absolutely.
Do unto others. That's the final covenant.
Yes. Yeah. What Christ said. You know, what must I do? You know, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if you have done this, you have completed all of the law. Oh, but maybe you should keep Sunday holy. No. He didn't say that. Chapter 9, Book of Judges. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them, with all his family, the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray thee, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it be better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. This is one of Jerubbaal's sons, one of Gideon's sons. Should the whole house rule over you, or should just one? Should we pick a king? Maybe we need a king. Hey, I happen to be one of the sons. And his mother's brethren spake to him in his ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. He picked up people off the street. Vain and light persons are foolish and vagabonds and the dregs of society, the ones he could get the cheapest possible. First he went into the Goodwill store and bought a bunch of clothes. Then he hired all these vagabonds, thieves, and persons in the alley, back alleys, and he dressed them up a little nicer, and he said, follow me, and I'll make it look like I'm a great company. And he went unto his father's house of Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons. Yeah. Aye, 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 aye. Yeah. Dissension. Mm-hmm. You're going to see this dissension go further and further into absolute civil war within the children of Israel. So this one son wants to be king, and he wipes out all the rest. Just writing on his father's name, who is dead now, who was the judge of Israel, anointed by God. So he's going to anoint himself with back alley people. Upon one stone, notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together in all the house of Milo and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. The second king that Israel has made for itself without the guidance from God. They meant nothing. They were actually not kings. Kings in name, kings by a small number. And the first thing God said to the priests, go and anoint. When they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? And said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go with be promoted over the trees? And said all the trees to the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the tree, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in ye have made Abimelech king, We have dealt well with Zerubbabel in his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands. For my father fought for you, and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons, upon one stone, and have made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Zerubbabel and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if ye have not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. Interesting little analogy there. What is all these trees?
Yes.
Olive trees and... you know, this is and the grapevine, you know, come and let's have the olive tree. The trees come and let's have the olive tree rule over us. Trees are an analogy to great stature among men in Israel. It talks about the cedars of Lebanon. It's not always talking about great trees made of cedar that you make furniture out of. It's talking about great men among the people.
Sharing family lines.
Yes. And any tree that has fruit is a sign of wealth and power and authority. But the olive, did you come and ask the great men of Israel to rule over you? Did you come and ask the rich men of Israel to rule over you? How about the vine? Did you come and ask those who have lots of community value to rule over you? Or did you go to the bramble, which we all know will climb up a tree and choke it? Is that what you ask to rule over you? Have you dealt good with the house of Zerubbabel? Or have you dealt evil with the house of Zerubbabel? Seems to me, this son of his, from a handmaid, has killed all of his children, except for one hid.
Mm-hmm.
Killed all of his children, and now you want to make him king. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. Jotham is left and Abimelech is taking over. Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem.
And God sent.
God sent. Exactly right, Jonathan. There's nothing in this Bible that is not choreographed by God. You know how many times I've heard in church that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Even after these great plagues, Pharaoh hardened his heart. No, you know what the Bible says? God hardened Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh hated God.
Mm-hmm.
There were pharaohs before him that worshiped God. That's why the Israelites didn't have such a bad time for 300 of those years that they were in Egypt. They were guests, honored guests. And then a new line of pharaohs came in, the Assyrian line. They were conquered. The Assyrian took over. Who knew not Joseph, knew nothing about Joseph, knew nothing about the God of heaven that Egypt actually worshipped at that time. That nation was then cut off, as we are now, America. We know nothing of the God of heaven. It's about half of us. If you look in this book of Judges, these people get hauled away because half of them don't believe. Then the other half cry out and God brings them back. So I hope the half in America who still believes are crying out, because we're on the threshold of being dragged away. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Ah, his own scoundrels that he had rounded up to make him king.
Yeah,
maybe we don't like him. Why'd we even make him king anyway?
Yeah.
Remember he paid us? You remember that day? Went through the alley. You and I were in that alley back there. And they come and give us both $5.
That's right.
Yeah. That the cruelty done to be 70 sons of Zerubbabel might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. The men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountain. And they robbed all that came along in the way by them. And it was told Abimelech. So they put an ambush up there. They put a bunch of robbers on top of the hill and start robbing everybody. And then he'll come up there and try to fix it. Mm-hmm. And Gal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards, trod the grapes and made merry, and went into the house of their god and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. Gal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbabel? And Zebul, his officer, served the men of Hamor and father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand. Then would I remove Abimelech." And he said to Abimelech, "Increase thine army and come out." And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, "Behold, Gal, the son of Ebed, and his brother be come to Shechem. Behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore, up by night, thou and thy people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, that thou shalt rise early and set upon the city. And behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion." And Abimelech rose up and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up and the people that were with him from lying in wait. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains." And Zebul said unto him, "Thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men." "Nah, you ain't seeing nobody coming down. That's just shadows, man." And Gaal spoke again and said, "See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meneom." And said Zul unto him, "Where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidest, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them." And Gal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Aramah, and Zebul thrust out Gal and his brother. They should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people and were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, beat down the city and sowed it with salt. These were his people. They decided they didn't like him anymore. So he's wiping them out. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into a hold in the house of the god Berith. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Abimelech get him up to Mount Zalmon. He and all the people were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, cut down a bow from the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulders, and said unto the people that were with him, "What ye have seen me do, make haste and do it as I have done. We're going to burn them out." And all the people likewise cut down every man a bow, a log, and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire upon them. So all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. What a horrible death, being a stone tower.
Oh my God, yeah.
It would actually become an oven.
Yes, a brick oven.
And you would bake to death. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and they all the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Here we go with another woman, Jonathan.
Yeah.
God is bringing champions of women because the males in Israel aren't up to the task. They have lost their desire to serve God. They've lost their trust in God. But he's rose up a whole bunch of women. This is number three so far. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. How easy. All these men wanted him gone. They couldn't do it because there is no power in the male line in Israel now. It's the third time that God has used a woman to bring salvation to Israel. So she broke his skull. That's pretty gruesome too. It's like the one that drove the tent peg through the guy's head. Yeah. These women are bad.
Straight for the head.
They don't mess around.
Nope.
Then he called hastily unto the men, the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not to me that a woman slew me.
Hold on to the pride all the way to the end.
Oh, that is exactly right. You nailed it, Jonathan. Of all things to be thinking about, as your blood is gushing out of your head and you're dying, not, forgive me, Lord, for I've sinned. Kill me now so that they won't say a woman killed me. Absolute pride.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest sins of this Bible. There is only one sin in this Bible, disobedience. But the disobedience through pride keeps so many out of God's kingdom.
Pretty much the worst door to step through.
Yes. And that was why when Paul asked God three times to take the thorn out of his side, which was a lust for women. It's in the book. Oh, no, pastor said he's had some bad eyesight. Really? Bad eyesight is not a thorn in your side. It's a physical affliction. A thorn in your side is something that devours your spirit. Poor eyesight is something you can overcome. A thorn in your side is something you battle with. It's in there. He even says to the one of the churches in one of his epistles, I have told you what the thorn in my side is, and still you welcome me into your congregation. What, they don't like blind people in there? No, it was worse than that. He lusted after women. And I have no pride anymore at this point in my life. You know, I've been right there with you, Paul. It's a big thorn. It's a difficult one to deal with. I feel like I'm in good company. And I know that God's got my back. And he told Paul, I will leave this thing for you. I will leave this thing with you because if I don't, you will become a proud man. And it will destroy you. And I do believe it was a good thing. Then he called hastily unto the young men, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. I got news for you, Abimelech. This Bible says a woman slew you.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
That guy there.
You just got him killed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, you killed him?
Yeah, no. Yeah. That broad over there killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel. So, the son that was not killed, God's appointing him judge. And all these men... Mm-hmm. That wanted him dead, they're going to pay a price now. God uses evil to punish evil. God is in control of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. Oh, well, Satan's in charge of evil. God's in charge of Satan. Still to this day. Yeah, well, there was a rebellion, and yes, God, still, you'll see in this book, if you follow long enough, God sends evil spirits to people. Those are Satan's minions. Well, how can God? Well, because God's still in control of everything. But this book has to go a certain way. It's choreographed. There has to come to a point when the Messiah must come, and all things must lead to that road. Good, bad, or indifferent must lead to that road. The Messiah will come, and the bondage of the law will be broken, and it was broken. Except for some of you Christians that just can't quite turn loose of it, and you're telling Jesus Christ that he didn't quite do enough. Oh, it's been a good one, ain't it, Jonathan?
Yes, it is.
I enjoyed this one. Chapter 9, Book of Judges. It was interesting. Good to be here with you today. Read this book. Devour this book. You read it 1,000 times through, it's still not enough. Every time you read it, you'll get something else. Look at every word. Take words back to the Hebrew and you'll find, wow, this is amazing. You'll find out there were two worlds. This is the second time, and it ties science to the Bible. Yes, this world is millions of years old. But yes, the Adamic line has only been here for maybe 9,000 years. Oh, well, there's fossils that are millions of years old. It can't be. And I hear some of these Christian apologists, they have it so figured out. And they come to the fossils. Oh, no, these fossils, they appear to be old because of the flood. No, they're old because they were the first world was here. It's Ecclesiastes says, nothing is new under the sun. It will be done again and again and again. And Jeremiah says there was another world and God flooded it and put out the sun. And the earth was void and without form. Turn to Genesis. Earth was void and without form. And God said, let there be light for at least the second time. We don't know how many eons passed between the first and the second. It was a long time because in Jeremiah says, and God said, after he put out the sun, I know that one day my wrath will cease and I will begin again. There are your millions of years. There are your old fossils. There was a great civilization here before. This is Tyre, the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre. Satan himself destroyed it. Mm-hmm. God flooded the earth. Why do you think he put a rainbow in the sky? He says, I do this in remembrance that I'll never do this again. Why would you do that only after once? No. It's at least twice he's flooded it. Maybe more. Been good to be here with you on 97.7 WBFF on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. Catch up on past episodes. You'll be amazed at what you hear, but it's all right here in the Word of God. WBFFradio.com. Catch up with us. Read along with us daily. And it's been good to be with you. Any day in God's Word is a good day. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.